Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is May 3rd. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm a little off. With the first falling on a Saturday, it just was so weird. It was, I felt so disconnected from the first of the month. We're usually talking on or the day before or the day after the first. It's rarely that the first comes right in that Saturday hole where we're so far apart from pods.
Yeah, that kind of great expanse between talking to each other that Saturday, that afternoon. Great, profound thoughts here to open up. I think it's indicative of, I don't know, another slow weekend for me, at least on the PGA Tour. This has always...
You didn't like the Keegan Bradley, Sam Burns showdown?
I'm not going to hate on what happened. I just like this, the Masters to what used to be US Open players, you could throw that in, would have been this week. It's just always sort of like a detox. Always has been. Like, I'm ready for the PGA to get here. This isn't a bane on any of the events, New Orleans, Harbortown, anything like that. But this is like maybe another sign that life's slowly getting back to normal when these post-Masters events kind of just don't do it for you. But PGA will be here soon enough, I suppose.
We talk a lot about Cup.
We got other stuff.
About bye weeks. You know, sometimes that might be good. It might be good for the game of golf in general. It gives other tours the spotlight, like, you know, maybe the Senior Tour gets a bump or the Korn Ferry Tour or LPGA. And this was a week where, you know, the tour probably didn't need to be on CBS. One of CBS's anchors took the week off. And, it's fine. I don't dislike the Valspar, and I think that the move got him a really nice field, and it's clear that in this schedule format, like, they're in a really good spot, especially leading to a major in the Southeast. I think that had a lot to do with it, too. It's like, hey, I'll play this, I'll play Quail Hollow, and then I'll go to Kiowa, you know? Not a ton, you know, there wasn't much pop in any of these tournaments this weekend.
Any of the events.
Outside of Hannah Green kind of fumbling away the LPGA, it was a kind of a runaway weekend, which is fine. I mean, I think that I kind of like runaways because it's very clear who the best player of the week was, you know?
Sure, sure. Where do you want to go? Valspar? We'll start with Valspar. Burns was a runaway, but not until like the 13th hole, right?
That's where Bradley. Until Keegan, you know, twitchy Keegan eventually, you know, twitched the wrong direction. He got started scraping around there on that back nine. And
His asset, right? I mean, that's his biggest strength he's not a scraper generally. I mean, that's what holds him together, keeps him on tour. But I thought the last part three, Snake Pit, you could tell it's first time CBS has done this event because, wow, were they happy and excited to talk about Snake Pit and snakes generally and the holes, the finishing three. And that was a big, big day for Snake Pit all weekend. But like 17, right? He just like stuffs it. Very hard hole. Stuffs it. And then like misses the whatever, 6-footer, 7-footer. Best shot of the day there. That was like the full Keegan experience. But then, you know, his irons left him a little bit on the back nine. The 13th hole was where it kind of all came undone. Sam Burns wins by three. Again, didn't do much for me.
I view this a little differently. I think this was a huge win when we look back on this. Sam Burns is bona fide.
Well, yes.
Potential superstar. Yep. It's taken him a little bit longer, which we've seen. Like, we've seen players take longer and end up with better careers. Whoever's the best at 23 or 22 doesn't mean they're going to be the best when they're 32. And I think with Sam Burns, I think this is kind of like a little – it could be – we could look back and say this is a little bit like Brooks Koepka, where the guy didn't necessarily have smashing success. He had success right away. He got to the PGA Tour right away, but he wasn't a bona fide superstar in comparison to the likes of Colin Morikawa or Hovland or Wolf. But he took he's taking his time and he's getting there. He has held more co-led or led after nine rounds this season, which is the most of any player, and that's from Justin Rae. I think one of the things you look for in young players is they take a leap. He's always been a great driver of the golf ball, and now he's moving up into the upper echelon of the PGA Tour and approaching the green. He's gone from, you know, 150th plus in strokes gained approach to 34th this year. And, you know, when you hit the ball long like he does and hit irons well, like, it's going to be a recipe. He's going to be a factor every type of golf course with the way his golf game is. Obviously, he's known for his Walker Cup snub in 2017, that great Walker Cup team. I think he was the player of the year that year. Consensus, like, first team All-American, absolute stud. And I think one of the things that I've always liked about Burns, this is kind of the era of golfers that when I started the Fried Egg, I covered amateur golf a ton, because that's what you do when nobody knows who you are and you don't have access. And Sam Burns, everybody always said, well, you know, he's kind of a dick. He's kind of cocky. That was his reputation.
Yeah.
But you know what? To be a really great golfer, those are really good traits to be. You know, like being cocky, being, you know, having full confidence in your golf game. And I think that's the thing. The sky's the limit for Sam Burns, and winning sometimes takes time. He's been in the position a lot this year. I think he's had a ton of, you know, 36, 54 hole leads in the mix on weekends. And finally, he got it done and, you know, did it. He routed the field, really. I mean, he played a really good final round. And, I think this could be first win of many, you know?
Yep. I wasn't suggesting that Sam Burns is not a powerful winner. And the start of, I mean, Nance mentioned it several times. It felt like this could be the first of somebody they watch win a lot. But I don't know. It just, the weekend wasn't popping for me. Another thing from Shreveport correspondent, I forgot, this is old in the archives. When we did, I think Sam Burns was the feature of Fan Vote Friday. Our Shreveport correspondent, Bunky Perkins, DM'd us info way back in the day. Remember that? Fan Vote, Sam Burns? Mm-hmm. You're talking about like a junior golf and where he came out of that success. And he mentioned that he came out of that junior program that David Toms built, like that crazy, awesome private facility in Shreveport that I think Burns said. Phil Barbary, obviously another very strong junior player. Nathan, is it Jensum, who played at LSU. Like, all, it's kind of odd, like this bubble out of Shreveport where you see like guys rise up, not just to play at LSU, but obviously have success beyond that. And this is from Bunky. Burns is a total redneck in the endearing sense. So he plays with the dip, which we're aware of, and they call themselves Baw Golf. Do you remember this?
B-A-W,
Baw, which is essentially how you pronounce boy. Because Baw, I tell you what. And they call themselves, like, they play Baw Golf. Pretty interesting. The little dialect. Dialect. Anyways, I thought it was, he's sort of, I don't know if the rep was dick or dial tone.
I don't think dick's the right word, but people, like, he rubbed people the wrong way.
Yeah.
That I had spoken to.
I would say he's very deadpan just in his pro golf career, our exposure to him there. But it was interesting how he got emotional, as we always do. You know, we'd like to highlight that. It clearly, like, this meant something after several close calls and having his folks there and his wife there. Is this not like de rigueur, like you have to have the family come out on the green, like the sinks, and, you know, you have to immediately, like, this is a CVS thing. They want all family on the green. They need tears. They need to ask you about the tears. This seems to be like the new, like, the tour must have like, well, check the ratings spikes when that happens, and now this is like become the protocol.
This is the thing. Remember the NFL draft last year? I didn't watch it as close this year as I watched it last year, but like
his every mom got single hit by a bus. Was like,
it was like, well, and if there wasn't one, like, you know, we're gonna figure out something. Like he sent this tweet and the internet got mad at him. Like you know, it's like the overcoming adversity thing. It's like it's so many times sports is so afraid of just letting the golf and the excellent performance stand alone. It always has to be, you know, if LeBron wins this title this year, it's going to be like, oh, he overcame a serious ankle injury to do this. And, you know, a short off season and Anthony Davis being hurt. Like that's what sports do now. It never can be just like, hey, they're really good. You know, he played really great this week. He putted well. He's been getting better and better as a pro. One thing I wanted to add, like Sam Burns, he's developing. He's getting way better, and that's scary because, like, who knows what skills next, right? He isn't driving the ball as well as he has driven the ball in his past this year. But when you don't develop, you turn into Kevin Tway.
Interesting.
Like, you just hit it far, and you can't do anything else. Like, Sam Burns, that's what you want to see with these guys, you know, is young guys develop.
Yep. Do you have a dump in the cup, Nopany? We haven't done that in a while. I'm going to propose Keith Mitchell shot an 82, dropped four spots. He's outside the top 130, too. So he's got to grind out some points this summer to get up there. Well, but, yeah, 82 is not a good
I hate
way to
do this to fellow media member Max Homa, but... You know, in the lead-in, they were talking about how Max Homa was going to get into the top 10 in the FedEx Cup.
Yeah.
And he shoots a 75, you know, played great golf to get into the position to get into the top 10, and he's only 16th now, so a little bit of a dump in the cup. With it, Walker Cup, I was thinking today, I remembered the Bernard Darwin story from the Flashback Friday where UK writer... You know, in the first Walker Cup at NGLA, had to sub in to play the singles match against William Founce. And he halved the match, I think. Maybe won. He might have won. He halved it or won. Okay. But I was thinking, you know, Max is a media member. He played the Walker Cup at NGLA.
Oh, how about that synergy? Amazing.
Isn't it unbelievable?
That's great.
I don't know if he knows that. That story.
The Darwin legacy.
I'm gonna send him that.
That's good. Good stuff. I like it. Did Cameron Tringali, is he the new, he's like the Sunday Streels, got him going. I saw Justin Ray had a tweet about that, right? He's now the all-time money leader for somebody who's never won, past Brian Davis, the sportsman who called the penalty on himself at the Harbortown. Guy I followed around as he cursed and laughed before it seemed like he was laughing at himself before he even made impact and shrugging. Brian Davis, the Englishman. I guess he was the all-time money leader for someone without a win. And Tringali, I believe, passed him. If not, he will be, you know, within a week or two. So that's a distinction of, I don't know,
seems a fitting distinction for Camp Tringali.
Right. What was he wearing today? Lord, this is...
There was a guy on the European Tour, Marunk.
Yeah, Adrian Marunk, the Polish guy.
He was wearing a shirt that had, like, literally, like, an audio level. Like, you know when you edit audio?
Yeah,
the shirt right across the chest was an audio. Like, it had a high pitch and then, like, a lower. I couldn't believe it. I should have tweeted something about it. It just was such a ridiculous outfit.
He's, like, 6'6", too. He's a big boy.
He sucked this afternoon today there. That was such a boring tournament. I usually really enjoy my coffee golf, and I was watching that. It just burned me.
Tenerife didn't do it for you. Black Sands.
Nobody came at Burmeister.
Burmeister.
I was so disappointed with our guy Cal Samuja. So disappointed. Utterly disappointed.
When did he become our guy?
Because he's got a great name, Samuja.
I mean, everybody on the Europeans.
He just was choking out there. He just wasn't doing anything. Nobody put any heat on Burmeister.
Yeah. Dean Burmeister. That's just,
How about Burmeister also? He was born in Zimbabwe. Now he claims he's South African. They were saying, oh, this is a back-to-back South African win. He was born in Zimbabwe. When do you become South African if you were born in Zimbabwe?
I mean, he's done the reverse Rory there. He claimed South Africa as opposed to abandoning it. Interesting.
He should go back to Zimbabwe for the Olympics.
Yeah.
Mean Dean. Where's he on the COSIA zone?
Not there. He's not COSIA. I mean, it's hard to get there. COSIA's done some things in this game. Where would you put him in COSIA territory? No, he's a few steps below. I don't know.
He's definitely a...
He can hang out with Danny Van Tonder and a couple of those guys, but they're not touching COSIA yet.
I feel like Pablo Larrazabal and him are similar levels, right?
Yeah, that's not bad. One of the Immelman brothers was excited to shout out Dean Burmeister, giving the South Africa some love in Valspar. So, anything else from Valspar?
Jumped off the page. Didn't putt well. You know, he led the field as strokes gained approach and off the tee. That's probably a good sign for how he'll play at Kiowa. You know.
Yeah. Or
like
even Kohala.
Putting changes week to week, but ball striking usually lasts when you go on those heaters.
Sure. Should we while we're talking about the subject of last week's thirst bucket of honorary thirst bucket of the week, the first inaugural? This week in Pip.
Are we having a repeat champion?
I mean, he had his Twitter whatever handle on his bib the day after he said, you know, I play to win and not for popularity.
He's been much more active on social media since this whole thing.
Much more active. Pretty. So who's your thirst bucket of the week? I think we got a good nominee this week.
So sometimes Thurston comes, you know, right in front of everybody. Everybody sees you Thurston, you know, working the phones, working the social media, getting things done in public. Other times, Thurston can be done behind closed doors. Thurston can be done on back channels. This week's thirst bucket of the week is none other than Ricky Fowler, who thirsted his way to a PGA exemption. And let me tell you why it's very clear that this was all done via back channel, that he knew this was coming, that he knew if he made some phone calls. Yeah, he hasn't been playing at all. You know who earned a spot in the PGA who didn't have a spot today? Sam Burns. Yeah, he earned his way in, which Ricky could have done. Ricky could have gone and tried to earn his way in, like he was doing for the Masters, who didn't probably respond to his thirst. You know, they didn't care about, you know, his social media impressions and, you know, his stature. They didn't give him the exemption. You know, Ricky's thirst, you know, the PGA probably was like, ooh, Ricky's calling us. This is pretty cool. Maybe he's our friend.
He's in the neighborhood down there. The poor, you know, he's probably driving around the swamp, maybe dropping off gift baskets and things like that. And just the thirsting for that spot. And yeah, I would add, I think he earns thirst bucket of the week for that little lift weighting video and his LPGA hoodie. Like 3 weeks after everyone else has already done, he's like, wait, there were impressions that he had with this LPGA hoodie. Let me get in on this. I need to scoop up.
I ordered an LPGA hoodie. It's shipping mid May. So I haven't gotten, you know, he might have just gotten his LPGA hoodie.
Yeah.
I ordered it 3 weeks ago, and it's shipping mid-May, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, doesn't he have Michelle Wee, giving him to all those guys because they're friends? I don't know. But, hey, that was very out of the norm for Ricky to do something that wasn't branded or wasn't being compensated. But it was clearly a thirst play, doing lifting weights. What? I mean.
Oh, it got aggregated.
Hoodie for golf, LPGA hoodie. He got in on that wave. So thirst bucket of the week. We got JT and we got Ricky. And our
Can't wait to see who wins next week.
Could it be another swamp creature?
Hey,
you know
who was thirsting for some attention on event of the week? Dalton Melnick.
Oh yeah.
He was messaging me about, you know, he wanted the Tim Aquata Cup.
Yeah.
Cocktail tour event. To be event of the week. He's messaging me before the event that he wants it to be event of the week. He says, yep, it's a really cool event. Too. It's getting better and better. This should be event of the week. He's messaging me that before, and then he goes out and dusts the field.
Just mops the floor. Yeah, now I understand why he was hitting us up to talk about it. So everybody would tune in, check the scoreboard the next day when he, you know, beat the shit out of everybody.
Wins by six or three rounds. Wasn't even close. He shot some ridiculous, I think he shot 65 or 67 the first day. And it wasn't even close. He just was a wire-to-wire runaway winner.
There you go. Event, he, post,
he could have been, after could have the been runner-up to Thirst Bucket of the Week.
Congrats on your win.
There he goes.
Incredible play.
He got his. He could have won two things. He could have won Tim Aquana Cup and Thirst Bucket of the Week.
Anything else from Valspar? The snakes, the event, the spot?
It's fine.
It's a fine event.
I'm glad that they got a better field. You know, it was a tournament that got screwed over by the new schedule last year. They moved and they got a better. But like, this is the thing. How long is this going to go on before they just start saying like, hey, you know what? Less might be more, because like, Honda's going to be like, why can't we move a spot and get a better field? Like, why can't we move?
I think it's back in March next year. Am I mistaken?
I know, but like, somebody's moving into the spot that sucks. And then they're the ones that get screwed over. Like, it's just going to be a constant reshuffling of the deck.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on. Since we've already mentioned it, the European Tour, do we need to say anything?
No,
Dean Burmeister.
We don't need
to. Tenerife.
It was boring.
Tenerife, I should say. I'm getting a ton of shit for my pronunciation.
Meester shot a great round. Great final round. But there was the middle of the round. He wasn't doing shit. You know, he started hot. And there was an opportunity for Samuja and who else was there? Oh, Macron or whatever. What was his name?
Maronk. Adrian Maronk.
Maronk and Samuja just didn't do anything. And then Burmeister finished strong. So, you know.
You know who played after also getting his PGA exemption? John Catlin. Ricky,
yeah, right,
just doing thirsty videos. Catlin finishes five. He's already got a spot, but he still shows up, plays, and posts a nice little fifth place finish.
Hey, so, you're on a timer. You got 12 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
We got to get going.
What do you want to talk about? There's nothing else to talk about, quite honestly.
We got the LPGA.
Hoo-Joo Kim wins 17 under. She beats Hannah Green by a shot. Several others, including Inbee Park, again, threatening the lead there. Is she number one in the world now, Inbee, officially? Does that happen?
We need Nosferatu to start pumping out that stuff.
Rolex rankings?
Yeah.
So Hoo-Joo Kim is like lighting it up. It's a very stout player on the Korean LPGA tour.
Well, yeah, she was lighting it up on the LPGA tour.
Right.
Last year, she didn't come over. She won twice over on the Korean LPGA last year in 14 events and had six other top 10s. So this shouldn't come as a surprise. One cool thing next week, Patty Tavakit is going back to Thailand.
Oh,
homecoming.
Cool. Yeah.
For
homecoming.
Her.
Yeah. For as a major champion, you know, that's kind of in relation to that Yuka Sasso. I mean, it could be just a massive party, like what Sasso won the Asian gold games. I didn't see much of this. These Asia events, men, women, otherwise, are usually rough for me. When I had a baby, sometimes, you know, feeding the baby in the middle of the night, but that's it. Did you catch any of this from Singapore?
Not really.
No.
I DVR all the golf and I skimmed through DVR this morning.
Yeah.
To see what was going on. Nothing crazy. Just Green kind of didn't play well down the stretch.
All right. On the Korn Ferry Tour in a playoff, we had Paul Barjon beat Billy Kennerly and Mito Pereira. Mito, I think, did he win the Latin American amateur? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe not. But Paul Barjon, he's a Frenchman over here, kind of doing the reverse sort of, I don't know, reverse Brooksy, reverse Catlin type deal. The Frenchman who's come over here, I assume he went to college here, but he's like qualified into several opposite field events. He's been a subject of discussion here plenty of times before. Davis Riley, another big chance to do the Battlefield promotion, but he fell short in the final round, lost by two. Any reaction to the Huntsville?
Yeah, Billy Kennerly is trying to make Low Billy a competition on the PGA Tour. Do you think Billy Ho?
Billy Ho going to take credit for Burns' win the week after he pumped him up?
Totally. This is what happens when you play with Billy Ho. It's either you get freed. You either get freed. It's like, you know, Sam Burns felt free and like, God, it's so nice not having to listen to that guy all day. Or, you know, it was all Billy's tutelage.
Listen, buddy.
I knew yet. I put the confidence. I instilled the confidence in him. You know, you just knew Sam was gonna win one of these times, and I gave him a good little pep talk at the end of the week.
I think his buddy tick comes from his coach. He used to say, "Oh, buddy Alexander." I think that's where that comes from. And now it's a tick he's just carried over and calls everybody buddy.
Do you think we could get comment on Burns' win from Billy? Do you think if we tweeted at him, he'd give us a comment?
Yes. Tom Crier? He's always available. No, don't do that.
I'm going to tweet him.
Keep a low profile. Hey, did you see the Huntsville Championship trophy? It was a spaceship, a space shuttle, NASA space shuttle. That's what we need. We need variety. Of course, the Valspar has the brushstroke, which they've, you know, compared to the Stanley Cup and the Lombardi Trophy is, you know, another great trophy in the Tampa area. But the Huntsville the spaceship was pretty sweet.
They were doing a lot of social media stuff. Like, it seems like this tournament's really got their shit together.
I mean, no title sponsor. What is it? Just like the Huntsville Chamber of Commerce Tourism Board? I mean, where is Huntsville? Is that on the coast?
It's in Alabama.
I know it's in Alabama, but I think it's north.
I think the course is called the Ledges, so it makes me think it's in the mountains.
Well, I mean, that could be anything. That could just be some stone they hauled in. You know, you step off onto the first tee.
Stonehenge reenactment.
Anything else in the Corn Ferry Tour?
Did you see the big flag at the new Jack Nicklaus course?
I saw a lot of content on the Jack Nicklaus course. Kid Rock was there. They've been doing, I guess, lighting up people's email, looking for PR. They had a flyover. God knows how much that costs. It'll be good, I guess. I don't know. I'm going to reserve comment on that or hold back comment, but there was a lot of pomp and circumstance around the opening of that Nicklaus. Is it Folds of Honor? It's the same guy behind it.
It's Folds of Honor, yeah. You know those big flags, how much they cost to replace? And you have to replace them every couple of years?
Yeah.
They're like insane. I remember somebody telling me about, there's one outside of Kohler. It's like an insurance company. I think it's like the largest flag in America or something. I don't remember all the specifics, but I think if I remember correctly, it has to be replaced every couple years, and it costs like $250,000 to replace.
Come on. So,
yeah, no, anytime I see these giant flags, that's what I immediately think about. It's like, God, that's going to have to be replaced, and it probably costs six figures to replace it. Like, think about like a 60-foot flag, how much that costs. Like, a flag for your yard is like $50. Now, multiply it by like 1,000.
Yeah.
And you've got the flag. So that it should cost a lot of money, right?
Do you have an architectural opinion or insight on that? The centerline flag? Could that come into play? Is that an actual obstruction?
I tweeted this thing out.
Centerline?
It was totally
or?
A joke. They're conjoined. It's some guy who's obviously clearly a big fan of the course, maybe involved.
Well, actually,
involved. He was going at everybody that was poking fun. I mean, it was a joke, okay? and he was like, it's not a centerline flag. It's in between the ninth and the first hole in the fairway. He like sent a picture. I go, yeah, it's in the center of the fairway. Because it's one fairway. It's in the center of it.
I see it now.
He keeps going at me. And I'm like, is it in the center of the fairway or not?
On a burner.
Well, the thing that I was thinking about, if the wind's blowing and the flag's blowing right, it's totally in somebody who hits a fade's way. And then if it's blowing the other way, it's going to impact the other hole. No matter what, I think it infuses some day-to-day drama. I think this is on the DLF situation where it's so bad that it might be good. Because every day you wonder which way the wind's blowing, and then that flag's going to loom all day long on your tee shot or on your approach shot. Back-to-back holes. And you never have to worry about which way the wind's blowing with that thing.
Do you have any, we are watching live here as Mike Weir tries to bring it home in Sparty Invitational. There, he's putting out an 18. He's up one over Tim Petrovic and others, a former Masters champion.
Can we talk about something else? We got news, right?
What do you want to do on news?
I don't know.
There's no news. Nothing happened.
Pine Valley's allowing female members. That's kind of big news.
Oh, yeah, that was broken Saturday
Do you think they're trying to host a major?
An LPGA major?
Women's Open?
No. Maybe. You think that's why they did it?
Muirfield allowed women in, so they got on the rota.
Yeah. Pine Valley's been what? It had the wonderful world of golf. We've seen it there. I've seen it at Crump Cup. Of course, you can walk in. Maybe. Is that a working theory you have? It seems like you've pinned it around in your head a little bit.
Just a hunch.
That'd be great.
When I saw it, I was like, maybe they want to host a championship, because you can't host a championship if you have all men members.
Or maybe they just want to get with the 20th century, 21st century.
I don't think that's the case. I think there's an ulterior motive. Okay. I don't think that most clubs operate out of the goodness of their, make a change like that out of the goodness of their heart. I think it's an ulterior motive.
Fascinating.
Maybe I'm a pessimist because I don't believe in, you know, just the good of
people doing good things for the sake of doing good things. Here's Mike Weir. Are you excited about this?
No,
he's
I'm not.
Just tapped
I don't
in.
Care.
He wins.
This is terrible.
Total
radio.
Jubilation.
This is what
the wounded duck.
All your life wants
duck.
To do is get your kids right. bathed before bed, and you're plotting along about.
There's no other news. I have nothing else.
Hey, you know who could have been Thirst Bucket of the Week is Phil, saying he's unsure whether it's like he's doing this to drive impressions.
What?
If you don't say you're going to accept it, it's just going to linger for the next 4
becomes
weeks.
Becomes another story at the PGA. Yeah. You get another article out of it. You get another tweets. That's true. That's true. Could be that. I think he probably doesn't know. I don't think he likes the USGA very much. And I don't think he's, you know, anxious to... I don't know. It's up in the air for him. Anything else on this? We have a sale. All merchandise.
Oh, 20%
off. Through Monday at midnight, Eastern Central, probably Chicago time, I would guess. But 20% off everything besides the coffee. Tees, hats, shirts, whatever. All the dratty stuff is pretty well stocked now. We have white polos. We have sport polos for the sweaty boy season that's coming. And a few quarter zips left. So everything's 20% off. All right.
Do you think
what
I
you
should
got?
Tweet at Billy Ho? At
no,
Billy
I don't,
Ho.
Actually. I
Did you see... this Sam Burns win coming.
Mike Weir, it's his first win in 14 Champions Tour starts. And that's where like guys go to get right, huh? All right, that's it. I don't have anything else. This was a slow weekend for news. It was a slow weekend for actual results. And that's it. Congrats to Sam Burns. Everyone enjoy your Mondays. We'll be back Wednesday. We got a loaded field. We got Walker Cup coming. And we'll be ready to talk more about it this week. Bye.